You know, some of the funniest and most interesting characters in pop culture have a common problem. Think about characters like Donald Duck or Yosemite Sam or the Three Stooges. Or if you're a little younger and you have more modern characters in mind, you might think of Unikitty from the Lego movie or Candace from the great animated show Phineas and Ferb. What all these characters have in common can be summed up in the name of one of the emotions in the movie Inside Out, anger. Something that sets all these characters apart from others. They get irritated, they get frustrated, and then they completely fly off the rails. And then usually their anger is associated with something like flapping arms or loud outbursts or slapstick antics. In those contexts, anger can be funny, can even be hilarious. You know, there's a story from the Old Testament that seems almost like a cartoon. It seems almost like something out of a movie. It involves a man named Balaam in the book of Acts. Can we start again? Take two. Sorry, I jacked that part up. Yeah, Acts is in the New Testament. There was no recovering from that one either. This is take two. I never do this, so this is a good one. All right. Sorry. You know, some of the funniest and most interesting characters in pop culture have a common problem. I mean, think about a character like Donald Duck or Yosemite Sam or the Three Stooges. Or if you're a little younger and you're thinking of more modern characters, you've got everyone from Unikitty in the Lego movie to Candace in the great animated show Phineas and Ferb. What all these characters have in common can be summed up in the name of one of the emotions in the movie Inside Out, anger. Something sets off one of these characters, and then they completely fly off the rails. And their anger, their frustration is usually associated with some sort of arm-flapping, loud outburst, slapstick antic kind of movements. And in those contexts, anger can be hilarious. In some respects, there's a story from the Old Testament that seems almost like something out of a cartoon. It involves a man named Balaam in the book of Numbers in chapter 22. Now, let me set the scene. God's people have fled Egypt. The Lord has rescued them from slavery. And miraculously, God has destroyed the armies of Egypt on behalf of the Israelites. And the Israelites then end up in an area called Midian and Moab. And the people there are terrified of them. And they have good reason. I mean, God has defeated the most powerful army in the known world because of the Hebrews, because of the Israelites. And so the leaders in that area, they call this man named Balaam, who is described as a seer. He's presented as someone who can actually talk to God, who can understand the will of God. And they want Balaam to do something for them. They want Balaam to curse Israel. And they are willing to pay him generously for that service. Now, at first, he seeks God's face. God tells him, don't go. And he doesn't want to go. But finally, it seems like they offer him something that he can't refuse. And so he decides he's going to go with them. But God isn't having it. It says this in Numbers 22, beginning with verse 22. It says, God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now, Balaam was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. This is a miraculous scene, but one that makes Balaam look like a moron. And not just a moron, but makes him look ridiculously cruel. The way he treats his donkey is horrendous. I mean, I have a visceral reaction to scenes like this. I mean, I can watch action movies all day long. Movies like Rocky, they're wonderful to me. Even though they're kind of violent, people beating each other up. But as soon as that violence affects an animal, I get sick to my stomach. So it's no wonder that when you look at the biblical witness concerning Balaam, he's always portrayed as a villain. You can look at places like Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 45, or Joshua 13, verse 22, or Joshua 24, verse 9, or Nehemiah 13, verse 2, or Micah 6, 5, or Jude 11, or 2 Peter 2, 15 and 16, Revelation 2, 14. They all have a lot to say about Balaam, and none of it's good. But what Balaam has done is only a shade different than what we all do every day. We have plans about how our day is going to go. We have plans about how our careers will go. We have plans about what our vacations will be like. And then something frustrates it. Traffic gets bad and we run late. Someone gets the promotion we've been working toward for years. Our flight is delayed and delayed and delayed. And we have to cancel something in our vacation. Something that we've already paid for. Or something more serious happens. Our kids aren't progressing the way they should. Or they're constantly testing our patience. Our bodies don't respond the way we think they ought to. Medications don't seem to work. Our health deteriorates. We get angry. We get angry. Blood boiling, red-faced, feeling like that character in Inside Out, anger with our hair on fire. And in the worst-case scenario, out of our anger, we lash out. And when that happens, pretty terrible things can result. When our anger causes us to alienate loved ones. When out of anger, we terrify our children or grandchildren. When out of anger, we get physically violent. And then all of the consequences that come with that action are on the horizon. And even if we don't lash out externally, we may boil under the surface internally out of our anger, causing serious health problems like high blood pressure and stress-induced anxiety attacks. Anger reacts violently. This is why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes a shocking statement in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." One of Jesus' earliest apostles, John, puts it bluntly when he writes in 1 John 3:15, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." What all this is saying is that anger and even murder are on the same continuum. I mean, last week, in the story of Cain and Abel, we saw that play out. Cain envied his brother's acceptance by God, and he got very angry, and he commits the very first murder. So it's obvious why in our series, The Seven Deadly Sins, it's obvious why anger is listed among those seven deadly sins. Sometimes anger is called wrath in the list of seven deadly sins. And while all sin leads to death, the consequences of unchecked anger can lead to death right here, right now on earth, because anger results in violence. And anger spiritually can cut us off in our relationship to God. If you look earlier in Numbers chapter 22, Balaam doesn't seem to have any problem communicating with the Lord. The Lord speaks to him, gives him advice, and he hears. And he listens at first. But right in this moment, in Numbers 22 and following, he can't see a giant angel wielding a sword. The donkey does, but he doesn't. As one commentator put it, Balaam is a blind seer, perceiving less than an animal. It's a scene dripping with irony. And Balaam's angry, violent reaction further separates him from the Lord. And you see this all over the scripture. I mean, Cain's anger causes him to ignore God's warning. Later on, Moses' anger against the Israelites and his frustration with their constant nagging and insult, that causes him to miss the blessing of entering the promised land. Jonah's anger against God's grace shown to the Ninevites, it causes him to miss out on being a vessel of repentance and blessing. That's what anger can do. Now, there's a caveat to this, and I can even hear some of your thoughts right now, because I thought the very same thing. Doesn't God get angry? Doesn't Jesus get angry and turn the tables in the temple? And if they get angry, and yet we know they never sinned, doesn't that mean anger isn't a sin? And the short answer is, yeah, anger isn't always a sin. Because it's true, God gets angry. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, "The wrath or the anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of humanity, who by their righteousness suppress the truth." God gets angry at that. Yes, Jesus flips the tables in the temple. We see this in John chapter 2, Matthew 21. He sees the money changers and he sees the people selling sacrifices in the temple courts, and he gets angry. And so there must be some types of anger and some occasions when anger is not only okay, but it's actually righteous. The difference comes down to why. Why am I so angry? That's the dividing line between a sin and righteousness when it comes to anger. In the story of Balaam and the donkey, what makes this story almost cartoon-like is what happens after Balaam has struck his donkey three times. This is what it says in Numbers chapter 22, beginning with verse 28. It says, "Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you struck me these three times?' And Balaam said to the donkey, 'Because you made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you.' And the donkey said to Balaam, 'Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?' And Balaam said, 'No.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And Balaam bowed down and fell on his face." Balaam is ready to double down on his anger, actually killing the donkey. The donkey speaking to him, and he's ready to kill the donkey. I mean, that alone is insanity. It's like a Disney movie. But what the donkey says here is really profound. He gets Balaam to stop and ask the questions. Why are you so angry with me? Do I deserve this? The answer is no. If Balaam had stopped to ask himself these questions before acting out, he may have figured some things out before beating his poor donkey. He may have realized that his donkey was actually protecting him. Stopping like that, asking basic questions about the source of our anger, that takes a special spiritual virtue, the virtue of patience. Patience is the deep breath we take before we act out of frustration. Patience is the beat or two that we take before we do something violent or stupid. Patience is that moment when we ask ourselves the critical questions, why am I so angry? Is it worth it to get this angry? You see, anger really shows up in surprising ways. And if we ask the questions, anger reveals something about ourselves that's even deeper than the anger. Because anger shows us what we really love. Jonathan Parnell writes in his article on anger, he says, anger is how we respond to whatever threatens someone or something we care about. Anger is love in motion to protect the object of our love. Let me think about it. I'm a pretty relaxed and chill person most of the time until you mess with something important to me. You mess with my wife, you mess with my kids. If they are threatened or belittled or marginalized in any way, even imagining that happening right now, I can feel my pulse starting to race. It's because I love them so very much. Because I care so deeply about them, I want to protect them. And see, God gets angry at unrighteousness and sin and abuse and injustice and mercilessness because it violates who He is. He is a loving God who cares for His people. He wants them to know Him well. He gets angry at those things because it leads to the hurt of others and the diminishment of His relationship to His people. Jesus gets angry in the temple because He saw people being taken advantage of in their worship. Jesus loves the people, and He loves the right worship of God. And so His anger is justified. It's actually righteous anger. But see, Balaam is angry because he loves the money he's about to get paid. He loves the money he's about to get paid to curse God's people. He loves the prestige of being known as this great and wise seer. That's what he's acting out against. He even says to the donkey, "You've made me look like a fool." So out of his broken reputation and possible lost income, he gets angry. That's not legitimate. That's sinful. In our moments of anger, when we try to combat that emotion with patience, we have to ask ourselves, what is this reaction showing me about what I really love? Getting so torqued up in traffic that I'm screaming profanities at the driver next to me, what does that show me? It shows that I love my schedule. It shows me I love my plans more than an actual human being who may themselves be having a bad day, who maybe didn't see me in traffic. And even if they're being a jerk, are my plans more important than a human being? Getting so angry at my kids that I belittle them or disparage them because they're disobeying me? That shows that I love being the big and powerful parent who demands respect more than I actually love my kids. Getting mad because someone else got the recognition I think I deserve at work, it reveals that I love my own acclaim more than I value being grateful for what God has given me. Getting so infuriated at people on social media for their political views, it shows that I love my own opinion and my own voice more than I do the relationships around me. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to combat anger with patience because we live in a time of intense anger. We live in a time where the news cycle, the social media algorithms, it rewards clickbait headlines that are designed to manipulate our emotions, to keep us like simmering pots of water on the stove, just below the boiling point all the time. So when one other thing, that guy cutting us off in traffic, the snarky remark from a coworker, our kids just being our kids and kind of getting out of hand, when one other thing bumps up into our emotions, it's like agitating that simmering pot on your stove. If you've ever done that, you know you can get it to boil immediately. Now, the truly heinous thing about all those headlines, they tell us this story that you're about to click on, this will elicit righteous anger because this issue is worth exploding about. And we get arrogant. We're arrogant enough to think that we know all the nuances of every issue well enough to exercise our righteous indignation. We give ourselves permission to insult and belittle and threaten others who disagree with us because we're right and they're wrong. Patience doesn't drive clicks or taps on your phone. Patience doesn't boost ad revenue. Patience doesn't sell newspapers. Patience, godly patience, can save us from our anger. Godly patience exposes our sinful loves. Godly patience brings us back to Jesus Christ, who out of his grace and out of his patience with us took the righteous anger of God against our sins on himself so that we might be free. And we're called to follow him today, to get out of the destructive pattern of anger and into the liberty of his patient love. It takes stopping. It takes asking ourselves tough questions about what we love. But in those questions, in that patience, there's joy, there's love, there's relationship if we will answer God's call. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious and holy God, forgive us when we fall into the trap of righteous indignation all the time. Help us to know the difference between what is truly righteous anger and what is selfishly motivated and hurtful. Give us a measure of your Holy Spirit that causes us to take a deep breath when we feel the boiling emotion rise up in our hearts. Let your Spirit rule in us so that we are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Move in and through us today and every day as we seek to be your witnesses to the watching world. We give this to you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.